people. We often hear from people dealing with and overcoming addiction on this show, mostly drugs or alcohol and gambling problems, and they can turn to, there's Narcotics Anonymous, there's Alcoholics Anonymous, and there's Gamblers Anonymous. But there's also an organisation called Overeaters Anonymous, which is a 12-step program, just like the Alcoholics Anonymous, patterned after the AA, in fact, for individuals suffering from and with any sort of eating disorder. That could be overeating, binge eating, bulimia, anorexia, and all related scenarios. And this week is the National Public Information Week for Overeaters Anonymous, and there'll be a large open meeting held in Dublin and Cork tomorrow for anyone who feels they may have a problem with food, family members of those who suffer from eating disorders, and medical professionals who deal with patients with eating disorders. And so we're joined in studio by Peter, who's going to tell us a little bit about his story. And you're welcome to the program. Thanks for saying hello to us this morning.
Good morning, Ryan.
I suppose, as we always do with a story that that has you know, many twists and turns, we have to go back to the beginning.
Sure.
And to you as a young fella. And we have to talk about food and your relationship with food.
Sure.
So was it always problematic?
Absolutely. I suppose in recent years, my mother has recounted to me, you know, just how far back it actually went. And, you know, this is something that I believe that I was born with. My mother, you know, could never feed me enough. I was never satisfied. You know, I'd always keep wanting more and more and more. And, you know, obviously, I don't remember, you know, that early stage. But what I do remember is that at a family party, when a Christmas party, I was probably about 5 or 6. My the adults in one room, the kids in another, and my dad came in with a box of biscuits. So he came in and said, "You can all have one." So he came back a few minutes later. Everyone had one, and there was a big pile in front of me. You know,
yeah.
And you know, it's not that I was eating all of these. It's just I literally, one was not enough. You know, I couldn't stop at one. I had to keep taking and taking and taking, you know. And that's how I'd really describe, you know, compulsive overeating for binge eaters like myself.
You know. When you had a lot of kitchens might have the treat press, you know, with all that.
Yes.
Did you have such a thing, or did you have somewhere to go?
We did, but, you know, I was brought up in the country, and, you know, my parents weren't too keen on too much sweets. So, you know, I'd make do whatever it was. You know, I, like, as a younger kid, I used to overeat on cooking ingredients.
Really?
Yeah, like, you know, like...
like cooking chocolate and things like that.
Cooking chocolate, raisins, anything that was any way sweet, you know. Like, you know, I'd you know, have many, loads and loads of apples, anything with any kind of, I suppose. Now, I tell you, one thing that I used to do, which is... my God, it just sounds so funny now. But my our next door neighbours didn't have kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're a lovely couple. And, you know, I used to go over and pick wild flowers and bring them to the lady. So she'd always then invite me in for biscuits. Of course, I'd always say, "Oh, no, it's fine. I'm just bringing over the flowers." And and then she'd insist. So I'd go in and I'd get my biscuits, you know.
But, so she thought you were a charming young man.
Of course.
And you were actually just trying to scam some biscuits.
Of course.
Oh, very good.
That was it. So I suppose that was the...
you're very honest in fairness.
The addict working at quite a young age. So.
Okay. Were you enjoying the treats, the biscuits and the cooking chocolate? Were you getting any class of enjoyment, or was it just to have them?
Yeah, no, I was. I absolutely was. In every... with drink, with most of these things, you know, the addict... To everyone else around it, it seems like a problem, but for the addict, it's actually almost like a solution. And that sounds a bit strange. And what I mean by that is most addicts have a thing, an internal restlessness, okay, which we call a spiritual malady, where you're ill at ease at the world, you're not happy, you're discontent, you know, you're irritable. And, you know, when you start taking whatever it is that you're addicted to, be it drink, be it food, that's almost like a solution for it. People refer to alcohol being Dutch courage. It's like that. People's shoulders sort of get slightly bigger. The same applies to food, you know, for a food addict.
So you get a hit.
Yeah, you do get a. You absolutely get a hit. And like, can I say, I don't take any. Sugar anymore. Yeah. I eat very natural foods, and when I was coming off the sugar, it was like I was detoxing off cigarettes.
Really?
I was getting fairly violent cravings off it. You know, so so absolutely, you do get a hit from it.
You're not overweight, so did you? And you're not, you know, large or anything like that. Did you have a weight problem?
Oh, I absolutely
did. Were you much bigger than you are now?
Yes. My top weight was just over 21 stone.
Gosh.
And so absolutely I was. Just to go back and give an indication of what happened, I was overeating on, you know, but I had limited supply when I was growing up. And when I was 17, I actually had my first drink then. And I started drinking alcoholically straight away.
As in developed an alcohol problem?
Yes.
Straight away?
Yeah, straight away, because, I suppose I'd found a solution in alcohol as well. And I spent 10 years drinking alcoholically, and I suppose while I was doing that, my food issues had sort of gone to rest.
So you replaced one addiction with another.
Absolutely, yes. So in 2006, I came in to a great treatment centre down in Wexford called Asherie, and followed that on with going to a place in Navan called Tabor House, where I got fantastic help. And, and then came into AA. So within a few weeks of coming into AA, I had started binging again, but I wasn't binging like I was binging back when I was before I was 17. I was binging like I was drinking.
So you were back on the food again.
Yeah.
So let's just go back to you were 17 when you had your first drink.
Yeah.
And you started to drink like the proverbial fish.
Sure.
And it was like proper problematic drinking, was it?
Yes, it was. It would have been. Now, I didn't drink every day, but when I did drink, I wouldn't be able to stop. So I was what you call a binge drinker.
So that's Friday night, Saturday night.
Whenever really I had the finances to do it, but so
did you enjoy the drinking? Or were you a mess?
I was a mess. Can I just give a quick story?
Okay.
I used to work in a pub, and when I was probably about 16 or so, I was picking up glasses, and I wouldn't dream of having a drink back then. And I remember one night after work, all the bar staff were having a pint, and myself and the other floor guy, we said, look, we'll have a cider. So we just got like a small little glass of cider,
as opposed to the pint.
And within a sip or two, I just felt like I had arrived. And that's what it does to an addict, and that's what food does to an addict. And I cycled home that night on my bike, feeling my shoulders so much bigger.
Meaning you felt more confident?
More confident. And that's what I mean, that food or alcohol or whatever it is actually a solution.
Okay. And they offer you a shield or like armor for a night. You suddenly feel you're able for the world.
Absolutely.
And without that, you're just like a very mortal, fallible human being. But so you feel, and this is the lie you're feeding to yourself and your brain.
Absolutely.
I cannot do it without that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
But as we keep going with these, things get out of control, and it stops working. You stop feeling like you're getting something out of it. And, as with the alcohol, I became unemployable. I wasn't able to hold down a relationship. I had very strained relations with my family. I wasn't, I dropped out of university. I wasn't getting on with my life.
Yeah.
Were
your family aware of everything? Were they trying to intervene, or were they leaving you to your own devices, or how were they on that?
They were. My God, my mother is a hero.
Okay,
I came down to talk to her, down home to talk to her, not knowing what I was going to say. And I remember I just broke down and everything came out.
What did you say to her?
oh, well, I was thinking, you know, as I was on the way down home, what am I going to say? And I just didn't know. And, you know, I was, I just broke down, and I just, through floods of tears, I realized, look, yeah, my things are in a mess. I am an alcoholic. I cannot go on like this. Okay. What I will never forget is she just calmly walked over to the phone and picked up a piece of paper with a number on it for this lady called Sister Catherine Lillis in Navan, who runs Tabor House and who organised me to go into treatment and then took me into the secondary treatment thing. So, you know.
So you were on the road to recovery at that stage?
I was on the road to recovery, yeah. So.
Did you feel, have you ever got to the bottom of what you were thinking in terms of your relations with the world? I mean, did you feel that you were a weak person or not loved or not wanted, or was there an element of that going on?
I did, yes. I absolutely did. But that is a characteristic of a lot of addicts.
Yeah. Which is what?
Is, you know, I was brought up in a fantastic house. Yeah. You know, my brother and myself, my brother's not an addict, I am. My brother doesn't feel like that, I do. So what's the difference?
Yes.
You know, an addict, because of the inner restlessness, the spiritual malady, an addict can feel, that the world is against them, you know, and quite often, you know, it's not really, you know, like, I gotta say, Ryan, like, I did a lot of counselling since I came in to AA and to OA. And really, it was by going through, we have a program of action in OA, 12 steps, and they really deal with getting rid of all this kind of...
All the demons and everything in between. Let's talk a little bit about AA. So you got to AA to sort out. Your mother was, as you say, she was the heroine, and she came in and swooped you up and said, we'll sort this out. How long were you in AA when you started overeating then?
I'd say a matter of weeks.
Okay, and you just said, well, if I can't booze, I can eat.
Yeah.
Did you pretend to yourself that you were just eating, or did you know in your mind that you were overeating?
No, I didn't really. No, I knew I was overeating, but I didn't realize it was an addiction.
And what were you eating?
It would always have been that I'd do it in the evening time. I'd eat maybe takeaway things, pizza, stuff like that.
The rubbish.
Savory and then sweet, so chocolate, whatever. Yeah. Now, then typically I'd be so bloated from the night before I wouldn't be able to eat physically until the next night. So it would mainly be one feeding a day, but the feeding would be huge.
And with that, you develop, you were morbidly obese then, ultimately, with that sort of weight problem. And you're into heart disease territory, aren't you, at that stage?
Yeah, my own father died when I was 21 of a heart attack. Okay. And his, a few of his siblings have done so too, including one of his siblings died of a heart attack when he was my age at 35.
Right.
So, but even the fear of that wasn't enough to stop me, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Well, you're at an age at that point in your late 20s where you're invincible anyway, so.
Absolutely.
Death isn't on the menu, so of you course. Keep going. At which point you get to the point where you say, I can't keep doing this. I'm slovenly, and it's sloth, and it's not good. So where do you go?
Okay, well, what happened was I was at an AA meeting, and I shared about being in a lot of despair, that I was overeating and all the rest. I was probably about 3 years sober or off drink at this stage. And a lady there came up to me afterwards and said, look, I'm a member of Overeaters Anonymous, and I can bring you to a meeting. So that was that. Now, I should say that, you know, before I got to that stage, I had tried a few things such as, you know, Weight Watchers, such as different programs like this.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would never say anything negative about them. They do work, and there's a lot of success stories from these organisations, but for a true addict like me, they don't work.
Well, isn't that, there must be a fine difference between somebody who likes their food and eats too much versus somebody who has an addiction, which is actually a different type of illness entirely. You went to OA, Overeaters Anonymous, and they took you along a road that calmed you down and what, cured you? Do you go sober in such scenarios again?
You do. You're not cured. I'll never be cured. But but as a result of the actions that I'm taking, all of my symptoms are arrested. And what I mean by that is I couldn't get more than 3 to 4 days mm-hmm. without binging. Okay, I couldn't get more than that. It was very, very acute problem. I had a permanent obsession over food. If I was in a situation where I couldn't eat or whatever, I would be very irritable, very discontent, you know.
Yeah.
People often say you can tell an addict when they're not using rather than when they're using.
Yeah.
You know,
they need their fix.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And ultimately, though, thankfully, you found yourself in a world that didn't have an obsession with food.
Sure.
Have you replaced that obsession with any other obsession
no.
or addiction?
Absolutely.
Because you've gone from one profoundly difficult one in food to
sure.
booze and back to food and now sober in both regards.
Sure. Okay, well, look, what I've done is when I came into Overeaters Anonymous, I've been in it probably 6 years now. Just to say, I haven't really been a member for 6 years because I would have been going to the odd meeting, you know, and then within a few days I'd pick up the food again. I'd
okay.
be back in it and all the rest, and a lot of slipping and sliding. Now, I was lucky enough at one particular meeting to see a few people that were really, really doing well. And what these people were doing was they were really following all the actions that were meant to take. Now, when I say actions, I'll explain a little more on that. The program recommended in Overeaters Anonymous is there's three parts to the program. First of all, there's meetings where we attend meetings. And secondly, there is service where, you know, we might do a secretary for a meeting, we might, you know, stack chairs, do
yeah.
whatever
you'd
is required.
Have to take a hands-on
yeah,
role.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the other part then is the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Now, these are based, they're the exact same steps as an AA and
okay.
any other 12-step fellowship. Now, the purpose of the steps are to get us, connected. We're all spiritual beings. So it's to get us connected to some kind of higher power. Now, it's absolutely not a religious program at all. It's any kind of higher power that we choose, you know.
Mm.
And
you say that like you're afraid people will be
yeah,
scared
yeah, but
away
I,
by
I am because I am because
Jesus and
yeah,
what
yeah.
You.
But Ryan, like, there's so many agnostics in these programs, and I myself was an agnostic when I came in first, because of, I suppose, resentments I would have picked up along the way, and you know, as a result of getting rid of these, to be honest, silly resentments, you know, I was able to get, you know, a concept of a higher power that suits me,
yeah,
and as a result of that and of the actions that I've taken, today I'm 100% free from all obsessions.
Well done. That's a great result. Somebody wants to know, with an addictive personality, do you now find that you're addicted to healthy food and exercise, or has the treatment cured your addictive tendencies? Good
yeah,
question.
Absolutely. No, it's a very good question. No, I'm 100%, when I say 100%, I mean it, of all obsessions.
Yeah.
You know, like...
I've often heard of people who've come out of alcoholism and
yeah.
then they are a catastrophe in their lives,
sure.
and they suddenly are become marathon mad,
yeah.
triathlon
yeah.
mad,
sure.
I've seen it more recently in more recent years. They go,
sure.
I'm off one thing, but my God, they're really addicted to the other thing.
Yeah, well, Ryan, that's exactly what happened to me when I wasn't working the what they call the program.
Yeah.
And I went straight into the food, and then you know, if I know for a fact that if I wasn't working a program now and I wasn't eating, I'd go into something else.
Yeah.
You know, because of that internal condition. So the purposes of the 12 steps, which is our program, is to get us connected to this higher power, and that connection sort of replaces the addiction.
Yeah, it's like a tether for a goat. It keeps you
absolutely
away from the
craziness. It replaces our addiction. It fills
yeah.
that inner void. And like, I gotta say, you know, I'm amazed when I go to meetings and I hear of people that haven't done it, you know, that are around so X amount of time, you know, white knuckling it and saying, oh, it's so tough to get through the day and all that.
Yeah.
That's no life.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen so many people, and including myself, that as a result of the working at the 12 steps in it, can get connected and get completely obsession free.
Yeah.
Absolutely. 100%.
And that's where you are today.
Absolutely.
There's a meeting tomorrow in both Cork and Dublin between 8 and 9.30. That's Friday night. And it's part of the Overeaters Anonymous public meetings session. There's in Cork, it'll be in the Metropole Hotel. In Dublin, it'll be in the community centre there in Angel Street.
Yeah.
But overeatersanonymous.ie essentially is where you need to go for.
That's the Carmelite Centre in Angel Street.
That's the one. Okay.
Yeah. Now, Ryan, can I just say as well that the Overeaters Anonymous is not just for large people. It's for we'd have people bulimia, suffering from bulimia, binge eating disorder, or maybe anorexia.
Sure.
It's for men and women, all shapes and sizes. When I came in first, there were very few guys there.
Mm.
Now I was at a meeting last night. There was probably about five.
Okay, so it's broadening. It's
broadening with a lot of guys there. We have a solution that can remove the obsession to eat, and for me, that's all I ever wanted. I've a lovely wife. And I like to cook.
Good.
So I'm able to cook for my wife now, and cook the things that it wouldn't suit me to eat, but I'm able to be happy to do that for her.
Yeah.
And so I suppose that's freedom. I don't have to stay away from, like, to be afraid to walk by a bakery. I don't have to live like this. I'm free.
Okay.
As a result of these actions. So if there is anyone struggling out there, please come along tomorrow night if you're in Dublin to the Carmelite Centre, or down to us in Cork at 8 o'clock. We're here to help. It's completely anonymous, and it could be the start of a good news story
for you all. Okay,
it will be.
Well, thank you so much for coming in to see us and telling us your story with that lovely sense of clarity, and hopefully others will be able to go and end up in the place you are in now, which sounds like a good place to be. Peter, thank you for your time today.
Thank you very much.